Come back to Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52. We want to remember Andy Johnson in prayer. Andrea called me and said that he's got lung cancer. And so we want to remember him. And he'll know more Friday, but I'm so glad we got good news. Good news in the Scriptures. Good news from God. I'm so glad of that. It may be rough getting there, but we have a good end. It may be, the journey might be a little tough along the way, but we have a good end. Have a good one. I titled this message, Good Tidings. Good Tidings. The Gospel is good news from heaven. It's good news straight from heaven. The angel came and told him, Joseph and him about it, and the shepherds about it. It's good news. And it's good news sent down from God Himself. He sent this good news to us sinners. He sent it to us. In fact, if we can lay hold of this, He came into this world and took upon Himself flesh, and He Himself preached the good news to us. God Himself came into this world and preached the gospel to sinners. I'm telling you, that's something to think about now. And this chapter is full of good news. And the first thing that is said in that first verse is awake. He says, awake, awake. And here I believe what he's saying, awake out of spiritual death. God must first call us and awake us out of spiritual death to hear this good news. Dead people can't hear it. He's got to awake us. Awake out of spiritual sleep. Sometimes we fall into a spiritual slumber, don't we? Sometimes we do. Awake to righteousness. That's what he's saying. Let me show you these in the Scripture. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, and whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. He said, awake, awake from spiritual death. Now turn over to Romans 13. Romans chapter 13. This is what we are to awake to. In Romans 13, look in verse 11. Well, look in verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. How that slumber. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. I heard the gospel. See, were you 29? Around 27 years ago, I can base it on their age. Around 27 years ago, I heard the gospel. I'm 27 years closer now to the time when I believed. Now is the time nearer than when you believed. Every day brings that. Every day brings that event closer. Now look over in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me get over there. In 1 Corinthians 15, look in verse 34. He says here, look in verse 33, be not deceived, evil communications, evil companions, corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this, he says, to their shame. But awake to righteousness. So that's what he's saying. Awake, awake. People have to be awakened if they are to hear the gospel. There is an awakening that goes with the preaching of the gospel that God gives.
God gives.
And then he says this, put on thy strength, O Zion. What is the strength of Zion, the church, God's church? What is her strength? What is our strength? What's your strength? Turn over to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Here is our strength. Psalm 37, verse 39. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Put on thy strength. God is our strength. Now look in Psalm 59. Psalm 59. Put on thy strength, O Zion. In Psalm 59, 17. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing. For God is my defense and the God of my mercy. But he says, unto thee, O my strength. God's my strength. Oh, he said, put on thy strength. And put on thy beautiful, beautiful garments. Oh, I tell you, if we could see the church as God sees her in Christ, she's beautiful. She's beautiful, man. His bride is beautiful. And he says, put on thy beautiful garments. Put on the garments of praise and thanksgiving. Is there any more beautiful garment than that? Can anyone wear a more beautiful garment than that of praise and gratitude to God for what he's done for us in Christ? Oh, put on the garment of praise and thanksgiving and get rid of that mournful spirit. That moaning, groaning spirit, for thy deliverer is come. Christ has come. I read that to you in Luke, over there in the Gospel of Luke. Put on the wedding garment. And he says here, and no more shall the uncircumcised and unclean come in unto thee. You know what he's saying here? These shall never take you captive again. Sin, Satan, the law, will never take you captive. You'll never be no one's captive again. Never. Isn't that good news? How many times did Israel of old go into captivity? And our Lord says this, and he's saying this to his church. This is who he's talking to. His church. My church, Zion, will never ever go into captivity to anyone else again. Never. We're no one's captive but his. His. And we're glad to be so. And shake, in verse 2, and shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down. Dust yourself off. Get off the ground. Get out of the dust. And shake off the dust of despair and the dust of unbelief. And shake those things off, he says. And rise up. And here's what he's saying. Get out of the dust and sit down. Now listen. Sit down like the dignified lady I've made you to be. That's what he's saying. Get out the dust. Get out of the dust. Rise up and sit down like the dignified lady I have made you to be. You're the daughter of the King. You're the bride of the Son of God. He said, now act like it. Act like it. God's people, now I'm telling you the truth, God's people are a dignified people. They are a dignified people. And then he says here, and loose thyself. You're free. Israel of old, dear, they were going to go into captivity to Babylon. And they were going to be there for a number of years. And he says to them, and it says to the whole church, you're free. You're no one's captive now. In Christ, we are free indeed. Oh, if God would enable us to get a hold of that. And I'll tell you what, we could if we're serious about it. It says in Galatians 5:1, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Don't you get taken back into bondage again. Don't you get caught up in all these do's and don'ts. Don't you? You stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. And then it gives a promise of redemption in verses 3 and 6. He says here in verse 3, for thus saith the Lord, you sold yourselves for naught. You did not profit by selling yourself. You got nothing out of it. We sold ourselves to sin and Satan, and you know how it is when we came into this world. He said, you profited nothing by it. And you shall be, listen, redeemed. There's the promise. You shall be redeemed. I'll redeem you. I'll buy you back. You shall be redeemed. We sold ourselves without money. We didn't gain from the sale. And God didn't gain from, He did not gain from the sale at all. Everything about us by nature is a loss. And that's something. It takes God to convince a person of that. Take God to do it. But everything about me by nature is a loss. I'm in the negative column. Law. And he says, therefore, I'm going to redeem you without money, that is, without silver and gold. I'm going to redeem you. Now, here's how I'm going to do it, by the precious blood of the Lamb. I'm going to send my Son in the flesh, and He's going to shed His blood, and His blood is the price of your redemption. That's the price of our redemption, the blood of the Lamb of God. And we shall be redeemed, it said, out of the hands of those that make us howl. That's what he says there. Look here in verse 5. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord? That is, what have I profited by yourself? That my people is taken away for nothing. They that rule over them make them to howl. Sin makes us smart, doesn't it? I tell you, you know, the Lord can forgive us of sin. But sometimes the effect of it lasts a whole lifetime. Sometimes effect lasts a whole lifetime. And he says here that he's going to redeem us out of the hands of those that make us howl. We shall be, he's going to redeem us from sin. He's going to redeem us from being slaves to Satan. He's going to redeem us from the curse of the law. And we are not going to howl and hurt no more. Because he's going to redeem us. He's going to have us. He said, you're mine. I purchased you. I'm going to have you. He says in verse 6, therefore, my people, this is who he's talking to, my people, shall know my name. You're going to know my name. Therefore, they shall know that in that day that I redeemed them, you're going to know in that day that I saved you by my grace. You're going to know that I am He that speaks. You're going to know the One that spoke from heaven. Behold, he said, it is I. When God shall have redeemed us by His blood and lifted us from the dunghill and set us on high, we shall know that He is the One that did it all. All, has that song go, all to Him I owe. All to Him I owe. All of it. We shall know His name. There's a lot of people out in this world. They can talk about God, but they don't know His name. They don't know Him. They don't know Jehovah, the Savior. They don't know Him. And he says, my people shall know my name. We shall know Him as a just God and a Savior. We'll know Him as that. And we will know that, listen, we will know the great I Am. Now, we know now in part, and I preach in part, that one day we're going to know God as even as we are known. We're going to know the I Am. He said, Moses, you tell him I Am sent you. We're going to know it. Now, he says here in verse 7, now, how beautiful. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring such glad tidings. How beautiful are the feet of those whom God sends this message by, this message of grace and this message of mercy for the guilty. My, that, I tell you, he says, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring such glad tidings. How blessed is that people to whom God sends His messenger. He does not send them to everyone. There are many people meeting tonight listening to a bunch of garbage. I'm serious. They're listening to a lot of garbage. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. This is the truth. We worship the true God. We do. And he says here, how beautiful upon the mountains this message of grace for the guilty. It's not to be kept in some monastery. It's to be proclaimed on the top of the mountains for all to hear. Lord willing, we're going to probably be on the radio next week. Probably end of next week. But we're going to be on the radio. And we're on the internet now. On the freegraceradio.com. You'd be surprised how many downloads. I was featured today. This church featured me today on the sermonaudio.com today. And Larry had emailed me around 2 o'clock and said it had already been downloaded over 70 some times. That's how beautiful up on the mountains. Proclaiming it by all the means that God puts in our hands to do it by. I want everybody to know this. I would to God that we could tell everyone that walks on this earth this gospel, this good news. I wish we could. And he says here, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bring good tidings. Even the least gifted will be welcome, will be a welcome blessing. Even the least gifted of us will be a welcome blessing. That's right. But I thought this, why feet and not a face? As I was reading that today and yesterday, I thought, why? He says, how beautiful are the feet of him? Well, first of all, I thought this, because feet are used to carry the man who has the message. He carries the man that has the message. And then I thought of what John the Baptist said. He said, I'm just a voice. I'm just a voice. We are just messengers carrying the message. That's all we are. And then I thought, a face reveals a person. And the only face you and I need to be taken up with is his. You won't be taken up with my feet, I guarantee you. We're not taken up with feet. But if we're going to be taken up with a face, let it be his. Let it be his face. His face who is altogether lovely. And what does he bring? What does this messenger bring? Well, it says here, glad tidings publishes peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation. He puts it out there. You know, you publish something, you make it public, don't you? If you're going to publish it, you've got to make it public. That's what we're doing. We have a great message for sinners who need mercy. That's what I'm looking for. If the Lord's willing that we are able to get on the radio and that comes to fruit, I'm looking for sinners that need mercy. I'm not looking to straighten a bunch of people out. I'm not going to try to straighten anybody out. I'm looking for somebody. I'm looking for a guilty sinner that needs forgiveness. I'm looking for a guilty sinner that needs to be washed. That's what I'm looking for. I'm not trying to straighten anybody out. We have a message. We bring a message of deliverance. A real deliverance from sin and the power of sin and the power of Satan. It sets the captive free. We declare that in Jesus Christ, we have a real, genuine forgiveness of sins. And that means something to somebody who knows what sin is. If God's made you to know something about sin, that really means something. Sin is the reason we are in the mess that we're in. And we have a real forgiveness for it. We have sinned against God, but there is forgiveness with Him. It says that He may be feared. There is forgiveness with Him through the blood and the righteousness of His Son of all sins. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. His blood is the atonement for our sins. It is a message of reconciliation. God has reconciled us in Christ. Now be ye reconciled to Him. The banishment is over. Tell Him to come home. Tell Him to come home. The Father is reconciled. No one's mad at Him. Tell Him to come home. No one's mad at Him. That's what I want to tell sinners. Come on home. God's people have been reconciled and justified in Christ. That's good news. That's good news. His messengers, it says, publisheth salvation. There is a real salvation from sin. There is a real salvation from the curse of the law. And there is a real salvation from the power of Satan. through the Lord Jesus Christ. God planned it, the Son purchased it, and the Holy Spirit applies it. And brethren, it's real and it's sure. We can preach with confidence. We can get up on the highest mountain with the fullest confidence and declare this message. We can do that. This is what the messenger of God will constantly declare. To Zion, thy God reigneth. I don't have the answers. I've got more questions than I do answers. But I don't have the answers to why this, why that. I don't know. But I can tell you this, thy God reigneth. He knows. He's got the answers. And he reigns. This is good news to Zion, to the church. Thy God reigneth. Look over in Psalm 96. This was said so many times over in the Psalms. I'll just read a couple of them. Psalm 96. In verse 10. He says, say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. It's not going to fall apart. It's under His control. He shall judge the people righteously. You know, he says over here in Isaiah, say unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Here he says, say unto the heathen. You tell them both. You tell those who believe and those who don't believe, God's on the throne. I told Tom Harding today, I said, I want my first message to be on God who's sovereign. I want to be on the sovereign God of heaven and earth, who's on earth. Thy God reigneth. You tell it to Zion, and you tell it to the heathen. You tell them who's running this show. Look in Psalm 97. Psalm 97, let me just, in verse 1. The Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice. Oh, this whole earth ought to rejoice because He's reigning. It would have been over with a long time ago if He was not on the throne. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitudes of the isles, the Gentiles, be glad thereof. I'm glad. Are you glad God's reigning? Are you glad that the sovereign God of heaven and earth is on the throne, ruling and reigning over everything? I'm glad He is. I'm glad He is. I'm glad of this. I'm glad that none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what are you doing? You can say that to me if you want to, because you probably have a right to. I don't know what I'm doing half the time, but He knows what He's doing all the time. All the time. None can stay His hand. Who can stand and stay a snowstorm? Who can stop the wind from blowing? Who can block out the sun? I'm glad no one can but God. Because He's infinitely wise and infinitely powerful and infinitely holy. And we can rest in that. Zion's God, which is our God, is God. He is God. That sounds like a simple statement, doesn't it? I tell you this, if you're standing in a windstorm, my God is God. I remember one time this was back in a football game when the boys were junior high. And they called the game because of the lightning. And we were walking down the field to get out off the field. I mean, it was lightning big time. And I remember, I don't know which one of them was, but I told him, I said, we don't have to worry about that. The lightning goes to him and says, here we are. The lightning says, here we are. He won't strike anybody that He hasn't pointed it to strike. And then in verse 8, listen to the watchman. This is the watchman's message. Lift up the voice. He said, Don't be backward or bashful about this. Don't be apologetic. For sure, don't be apologetic about it. lift up the voice, and with the voice together, sing. It's a joyful message. When you have good news to tell, you can sing, can't you? You can sing. And he says this about his watchmen. The true watchmen of God, they see eye to eye. They see on the gospel now how God saves sinners, how God can be a just God and a Savior. They see eye to eye on the gospel. The message is the same throughout all the ages. I'm preaching the same gospel message that Whitfield preached, Spurgeon preached, all the way back to the Apostle Paul. All the way back when it actually was first preached in the garden by God Himself. Talked about the seed of the woman. See eye to eye. And verse 9, break forth into joys. Sing together. Sing like a free people ought to sing. A free people ought to sing with a lot more joy than a captive people. A free people ought to. Why? Because the Lord hath made bare His arm. You know, when men go to war and battle, they put on armor, don't they? They put a lot of armor on and they put these bulletproof vests on. But you know what God does? He bares His arm. He doesn't need the armor. He bares His arm. He makes it bare. He needs no help. God, in the person of His Son, came into this world, and by Himself, by His bare arm, He purged our sins and went back and sat down at the right hand of the Father on high, the Majesty on high. And He says this, and all nations shall see it. Cecil and Jason got a little taste of that in Mexico. Those men see it. Those men all across this world see this salvation that God has wrought through His Son. And here's His command, and I'll wind this down. In verse 11, Depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing. They are getting ready to leave. He's telling them as they go out of Babylon, He's saying, depart, get out, don't hang around here. Go out from them. Don't you try to pick something up and take it with you. Don't you try to pick something. Remember, who was it, Achan that picked that spoil up and hid it in his tent? Don't do it. What he's calling here, he's calling on here for repentance and belief and faith. Go out. Don't you touch any of the unclean things. You leave it alone. Don't try to take any of the spoils with you. Don't try to hang on to this world, God, too. That's what he's saying. Don't try it. Be ye clean, he says, that bear the vessels of the Lord. Our Lord said this, be ye holy, for I am holy. Be ye clean, separated, that bear the vessels of the Lord. God's people are a holy people. They're a holy people. And their repentance is real. And their heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Trust in Him. It says this in the Scriptures. He that loves the world has not the love of the Father in him. He says, go out and don't try to take any of it with you. Leave it behind. It's unclean. That's what I'm saving you from. For ye shall not go out, he says in verse 12, for ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. You know what? Here's the image you have to get into your mind. When you go out, and you are delivered. Cyrus delivers them. Christ has delivered us. You're going to go out not with fear and trembling, looking behind you, looking over your shoulder like they're going to come back and get you. I'm not looking over my shoulder to see if something's going to get me. You're going to go out with confidence. You're going to go out quietly. You can go out like a people that believe God. You're going to go out like a people that's been saved by God Almighty, not some peon. I'm talking about God saved you. And this, you're going to conduct yourself in an orderly manner, in a gracious manner. That's right. You're not going to go out with haste. You're not going to just jump up and run out afraid if you don't hurry up and get out. You're not going to make it. You're just going to We walk, don't we? We're walking. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We're not running through it. We're walking through it. Because we fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. That's why. We will go out also like this. You will go out willingly. We're going to go out willingly. And consciously knowing what we're doing. Willingly and consciously knowing what God has saved you from. And who He is. And walking throughout your life with that confidence. And the God of Israel, listen, will be your reward. You know what that says? If you look over in your margin. And the God of Israel will gather you up. Can you think of anything better than that? The God of Israel will gather you up. God has been gathering up His children in Christ ever since the fall. Ever since the fall. And listen, sooner or later, in a little while, He'll gather up this little group of believers here and take us home. In a little while, He'll gather us up. When He's done with us, and He'll take us home. Okay, Mike.